Well, amen. Y'all know, don't you, that all this stuff they do, somebody's worked pretty hard to let y'all have a good worship experience. Amen. That's awesome. The music just blew me away. Well, I want to tell you this on the front end. The one thing that COVID has done is that I don't like is I'm a hugger and hand holder and shaker. And you can't do any of that. And on top of that, I have overprotective children who said to me, "Daddy, I don't mind you going out to speak, but don't get near people. Leave when you get through preaching." So if I don't appear to be sociable, it's because my children have threatened me with my life. And I want to abide by that. It is so good to be with you at First Baptist Thomasville. I told somebody this morning, the first time I came here was before the old building burned. And I bought a youth group here to practice in the choir loft. You used to have a beautiful chandelier in the middle of the auditorium. And my kids were from rural Mississippi, and it blew them away. And they went home and told their parents that we ought to get us one of those. And, of course, they said nobody knows how to play one if we had it. Anyway, that's horrible. Good morning, and I want you to join me in a study this morning of the shepherds. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Luke, we've danced around the text all morning, and I want to share the whole thing with you because it's the essence of what we're going to talk about this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. Follow along with me if you will. I'm reading from the New Living Translation because I can understand that. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them," what will occur, by the way, in a lot of times in the New Testament, "fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angel went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." May God bless the reading of his word. May it come alive in your life. And before we talk about him, let's talk to him. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me? What a crazy time, God. This is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. We can't get close to people, and we can't hug their necks, and we have to be careful about getting a disease that no one can define for us. We get a vaccine, and it has allergic reactions related to it. I mean, these are crazy times. And there are folks who have been by themselves and sequestered for a long time, and they've not seen family or been around them. And Father, I must confess to you that all of us grow weary. Now, you know us better than we know ourselves, so you know the kind of stuff that races through our lives. You know the loneliness and depression that we deal with on a daily basis. You know the hurt and fear that we have of all that is around us, and you know all that stuff. no shock to you. So knowing that, would you visit us this morning and teach us in ways we never dreamed we would see Jesus and Him only. Above all the noise we hear this morning, may we hear the quiet shuffling of sandal feet. Would you walk among us and teach us? Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't pastor as long as I have pastored and be around as many Christmas programs as I've been around and not have a ton of memories in your mind. Things you remember happening. Now, some of you have always been in big uptown churches. Some of you have not, but in rural churches all over the United States, they have Christmas programs every year. My memory races back to where I pastored when I first started. I graduated from college in 1960, none of your business, and I went back to my hometown and coached high school football. And while coaching there, I started pastoring a union church. Now, a union church in Mississippi is a church that's one building, and the people never change, but the preacher does. The first and third Sunday, we were Baptist. Second and fourth, we were Methodist. Fifth Sunday, we were Presbyterians and others. And I preached there. Now, the Baptist folk had a deal that they had to vote every year if their pastor could stay there. The Methodists just sent you there, stay forever, but Baptists had to vote. And they had never voted a guy in twice, ever, until I got there. And y'all, I must confess, I was overwhelmed with my greatness that I had been voted in. I remember so well the day after the vote was held, I was bird hunting with the only deacon I had who was somewhat of a smart aleck than most deacons are. But anyway, I was bird hunting with him, and I said, Joe, we set a record yesterday. He said, yeah, what did you? I said, I'm the first guy ever to be elected 2 years in a row. He said, that's right. I said, well, I'm curious. You suppose y'all voted me in because of my dynamic preaching? Was it my people skills? Was it my vision casting? I should have suspected something because he paused before he answered me. And then he said, what I'll never forget, that humbling experience where he said to me, preacher, we didn't really want no preacher. And you was about as close to nothing as we could find. Well, I knew then I wasn't that important, but that church is such a special place to me. And candidly, they taught me so many things, how to get along with other folk, and it was kind of interesting the things that we did. But the Christmas program always blew me away. Little children dressed in bathrobes and had one line to recite, one poem to quote, and they would sing songs and they would come down the aisle and be shepherds, and the angels would have aluminum foil wings. It was a big deal, and everybody came. When the Baptists hosted it, Santa Claus had to wait outside. The Methodists were more liberal. Santa Claus could come in at the Methodist service that year, but same people, by the way, just different preachers. But it was a fun time for me, but it was also a reminder to me of something extremely important. This whole church thing is not nearly as high class and exalted as we made it. It was actually a very common, everyday experience. There was a girl that wasn't married having a baby, and they were not in a hotel somewhere, they were in a manger, and whatever that was, they were gathered there, and it wasn't any high holy place. It wasn't an altar. It was just a barn. And Jesus showed up in the commonplace. And there they were, those shepherds. sitting in the middle of the story, getting high class, first class treatment. I know you heard it. I loved it. They were doing the Christmas pageant, and the little boy, 10 years old, had to learn that long line. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you'll find the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, if you're 10 years old, that's a lot to remember. Seminary graduates can do it, but 10-year-olds don't remember. But so the family made him rehearse those lines forever, at breakfast, at dinner, riding down the street. For unto you is born this day, this day, the Savior of Christ. And the kid did well. He finally got it down pretty good until the night of the performance. The church was packed. They cut the lights down low and put a spotlight on him. And he stepped up and he said, "Boy, if I got some good news for y'all, a baby's been born, you ought to go to the barn and see it." And everybody thought the kid had ruined the pageant. But quite candidly, the kid got it. He got the gist of that baby. He came to bring good news to us. And boy, do we need some good news. Who'd ever thought it? Don't remove Jesus to some holy place and make him so holy you'll miss it. Those guys on the side of that hill in the dark desert, away from the formal church, who wouldn't have been even welcomed in the local synagogue because they were dirty, they're the ones who got the good news. Now, I read that some commentator said that these guys probably were watching the flock of sheep that would later be all offered up on the altar as a sacrifice for Jesus, to appease God, as it were. And there they were, watching those flock at night, not worried about anything else, but they were certainly at the center of all that God was not about to do. You see, the good news comes to those shepherds. Not a regal palace, but a desert hillside. Not to a religious group, but social outcasts. And that's the good news. But I'm way ahead of myself. Martin Buber once wrote, "Nothing hides the face of God more than religion." This morning, as we come together to prepare for the Christmas season, as we start putting the pieces in place for making Christmas work, I want to dare to ask you to deal with where you are with Jesus. Have you made Jesus so removed from your life, so holy and righteous, that you think the only time you talk about God is in a three-piece suit and say God? Or have you allowed Jesus to invade your everyday life and change the way you are doing life? It is my contention that he wants to do that. The shepherds, let's learn from them quickly. I'll talk fast, you listen fast. Number one, I want to ask the question, who were they? Number two, I want to say, what were they doing? And number three, I want to say, what did they hear? And number four, what was the result of what they heard? I want you to realize who they were. They were despised by the Orthodox people of the day. They were quite unable to keep the details of ceremonial law. They could not observe all the hand washings and rules and regulations that the religious folks had. Their flocks made far too many demands on them, and they never prepared themselves to worship because they were always with those sheep. In the same region, the country of Judea where Abraham was raised, with his family and their flocks, in the area where David had been a shepherd, in the area of Bethlehem. You get it? History was splitting in two, and the announcement was coming to some common people. a silent corner of the world of folks who were sweaty and dirty, a royal, not a royal group, but common folks who are not even worthy to be in the temple. They were the people of the land. I like to think of them as the typical good old boys you'd find at a NASCAR race or an Alabama football game and a wrestling match. That's who they were. They weren't any hot shots. They were just shepherds. They were us. They were you. Like it or not, Jesus came so you'd be different. Jesus came so your life would be changed. Jesus came so you would see things differently. Common folk getting holy news. Secondly, what in the world were they doing? Well, they were doing what they always did. The duties of the shepherd in an unenclosed country like Palestine was tough. In early morning, they led the flock from the fold, marching them to the head of the spot where they were to be pastured, and there he watched them all day, taking care that none of them strayed. And if anyone strayed, he would go off and get them and put them on his shoulders and bring them back. And those lambs, sheep, required to be supplied regularly with water, and the shepherd, for his purpose, was to guide them where there was a running stream of water, or at least a well, in the wilderness. At night, he brought the flock home to the fold, counting them as they passed under his rod at the door to assure himself that none was missing, nor did his labors always end with sunset. Often he had to guard the fold through the dark hours from the attack of wild beasts or the wily attempts of a prowling thief. To put it bluntly, they were doing what they did every day. And God invaded that. And I think sometimes we get it messed up. We think God only does holy stuff in here, where preachers are cleaned up and got three-piece suits on and preach some King James Version of the Bible, but that's really not true. He came to those people who were doing what they always did. I don't know if that's working on a farm or working at Sunflower Bakery or teaching school, or I don't know what God's got you doing, but that's where God wants you to learn. And that's where God wants you to serve, and that's where he's going to find you and call you. They were doing what they always did. Routine was going on. They were existing in the everyday stuff, and the Lord sent his angels to visit them, because those are the places that God wants to be. They were shepherds, and they were us, doing every day. Well, that's who they were, and that's what they were doing. What did they hear? Verses 10 through 12 tells us they heard, "Don't be afraid." To those of low degree for whom life was a daily challenge, the struggle was as routine as sunrise, he said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, good news of great joy for all people. A deliverer, a rescuer has come." Would you hear this preacher this morning? Hear the fact that God has acted on your behalf. And he doesn't want you to face life all by yourself. A deliverer, a rescuer has come for you as well. I don't know where you are in the spiritual journey, but don't ever let it become routine. I praise the Lord that I can hear what they heard. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're battling cancer? Don't be afraid. You lost your job? Don't be afraid. Stress in your marriage? Don't be afraid. He will be with you. And they heard that. That's where they were, and that's what they heard, and that's what they desperately needed. And those shepherds, they were us. Finally, look at verses 15 through 20. What did they do? Once they heard the songs, what did they do? The scripture records that they went to see for themselves. They wanted to see. if what those angels had been screaming about was really true. And so they made their way to a barn. They wanted to know if it was true. And when they got there, they discovered that it was. When I started this sermon, I told you about a memory I had doing a Christmas program. But let me tell you about a memory I have of the last place that I pastored a church. My last pastor was Wauchula, Florida, down in the center part of the state. I started preaching there after I'd retired and had a great experience. And I had a friend there named Kenny Lambert, who's in heaven now. And every year I made him sing a song for me. I think the people got tired of hearing it, but I never got tired of hearing it. It was a Bill and Gloria Gaither song that Southern Gospel folks have sung more than anybody else. It's called Something's Happening in the Barn. It goes like this. Come and see what's happening in the barn. I've seen nothing like this since I've been on the farm. These strangers who camped out there have babies in their arms. Come and see what's happening in the barn. Must have been sometime about close to midnight. A big old guy came knocking at my door. He said his wife was about to have a baby and she couldn't travel anymore. I said the rooms had all been rented out, but they'd find shelter out there in the barn and they would throw some blankets in the stable. At least they could be dry and safe from harm. Sometime before dawn, I was awakened by light was flooding through my window. A star as bright as moonlight was shining, pretty music I could not explain. I ran downstairs to have a look around. I tell you, I couldn't believe my eyes. A crowd had gathered around the manger, and they were talking about God's big surprise. The shepherds said they'd been on the hillside telling stories just to stay awake, and the baby lambs were sleeping near the campfire, and the ewes were huddled by the stone fence gate. And then the sky seemed to open wide with light and sound, and they could not bear what they swore were angels who sing a chorus. You'll find the new Messiah over there. Go and see what's happening in the barn. There's been nothing like it ever happened on this farm. The strangers that camped out there have a baby in their arms. Go see what's happening in the barn. Now, you could probably preach this from here on your own, but I'm going to help you a little bit. This Christmas, as we've talked about Advent, as we listened to that beautiful song about Mary holding a baby in her arms, as we sang the Hallelujah chorus, all that stuff is good. But let me ask you a question. Have you been to see what was happening in that barn in your life? Have you had that moment where Jesus became more than a song sung in a silent night? Jesus became your Savior and Deliverer, and He brought you peace and hope, and He made sure that you knew that you need not be afraid. You don't need to fear. That you would know that He loves you and cares for you in the middle of whatever you got going on. Don't be afraid. The shepherds went to see for themselves, and they left there proclaiming it to their world, what they had seen. Don't you go through Christmas and not have that experience. Because this book says that if you will allow it, He will come into your life and bring you deliverance. That's what this book says. And this book never lies. Would you pray with me, please? Father, that's it. I've taught what I know. And now I dare to trust your Holy Spirit to move through this body of folk, whether they be in the balcony or whether they be down in front of me or whether they're watching online. But I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them to you that they'll come to the barn and discover for themselves the hope of Christmas as never before. If you're here this morning and you've never known that, never given your life to Christ, don't you dare make this some religious thing. I want you to take a good look at your life and where you are. The Bible records that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It also declares that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. If you'll confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Maybe it's time for you to have that conversion experience. Pray a prayer something like this. Father, I'm a sinner. Oh, I go to church and I do religious things, but I don't have a personal relationship with you, and I hunger for one this Christmas. So, Father, will you come into my heart and would you save me? Just maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those people who just hadn't quite gotten it all together, still running from God. You were a child and became a Christian, but you hadn't been very serious about your faith since then. Christmas is a good time to say fresh, Lord, have your way with me. Pray a prayer something like this. Father, I know I'm a believer, but Lord, I don't serve you much and I don't proclaim you much in the world where I live. In my routine life, I miss you sometimes. Father, would you draw close to my heart and draw me close to you? Speak to us in these moments. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.